Now, I've been talking the FIPA this week, and I've been preparing for our pastors and leadership conference, and I've been thinking about leadership and what does it really mean to be a leader. And I am determined that real leaders have to be, as I preached a few weeks ago, steady in the storm, steady in unsteadiness, stable in instability, consistent in crisis, doing, I prophesied as I was commanded. I didn't know whether it was going to work or not, but I prophesied as I was commanded. Can these bones live again? I don't know, but I did what you told me to do. Success for me is not to raise the bones. Success for me is to obey the God that said, preach to the bones. It's my job to preach to them. It's your job to raise them. And these are trying times, and these are difficult times. And I will admit that I am even theologically perplexed. Because on one hand, I hear Jesus say, take no thought of what you should wear and what you should eat and where you should live. It almost suggests that I should be complacent, detached, relaxed, that just don't worry about anything. And then he goes on, the Apostle Paul says to us, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests made known unto God. And the peace. Yeah, that thing right there, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your heart, your mind, your emotions. I need security, not around my body, but around my emotions. To keep away the anxiety and the depression and the fear. And he's telling me to be anxious for nothing. And yet, on the other hand, the wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes tells me to look on the ant, you sluggard, and prepare for winter while it's summer. Not to waste my days in vanity, but to have a strategy that incorporates sustenance for survival. These things seem contradictory one to the other. And then I look at Joseph, whose strategy was so complete that he used the 7 years of plenty against the 7 years of famine. And he controlled what was next. By the way, he thought. And when I look at the two things together, I get confused because I'm a strategist by nature. And when Jesus says, take no thought, it goes against everything in me not to take thought. My sister texted us last night and said, be sure you leave your water running. It's going to freeze. I immediately turned the shower on just real low, just a drip, because we old school. That's why you have to be over 50 to get texts like that. When you're 20, you don't get texts like that, but when you're over 50, you get texts to leave your water running. And while I believe God for my pipes, and I believe God to take care of my house, I still kept my water running. We just came out of a season where there was a national debate about wearing masks, you know? And they said if you had faith, you wouldn't wear them. And I believe God. But, you know, I noticed that the people who said faith would make them not wear them wore seatbelts. So I thought if you really had faith, unbuckle your seatbelt. So what does it mean to lead in turbulent times, and how does faith express itself in times that are perplexing It creates stress, not only because of what we are enduring, but how does our faith show up in the crisis? What does that look like? And for different people, you will get different answers. Some people say they have so much faith, they don't worry about anything. So they don't have life insurance or health insurance or anything like that. I'm serious. They don't worry about anything. They don't go to doctors. They don't worry about anything. They could drive on the wrong side of the road. They don't worry about anything. How does faith show up in a crisis? How does faith manifest itself when God himself tells us to be strategic and rewards Joseph for the strategy? And Joseph becomes the prince of Egypt because he's thinking ahead, and yet Jesus says, take no thought. But if I only take that phrase without reading the rest of the text, Jesus isn't telling us to be mindless. He is not telling us to be mindless. He's telling us not to worry. He's not saying we can't have a strategy. He's telling us not to worry. He's managing our emotions against anxiety. When the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, it didn't tell you not to want something. It just says not to be anxious about it. Don't allow your emotions to make you frantic just because you have a plan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of my favorite quotes out of then Senator Obama, later President Obama, wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. And he says, and I quote, I now realize that the presence of doubt doesn't diminish the presence of faith. That it is possible to have doubt. I lost him, Jesus. And faith simultaneously. And I don't know why I lost you, because I'm talking about you. There is no question that you believe God, but there are still moments that you stay up at night. How does faith show up in our life in the midst of a crisis, when the prophecy was positive, but the circumstance has now entered into a season of chaos? David is a leader. He is a leader, not because Samuel anointed him. He is a leader. People cannot make you what you are not. Let me give you further reference. God says to Moses, anoint men to be elders that you know to be elders. I cannot make you something by giving you a title or a desk or an office or a position. If you are not that, you are not that. Let me go deeper. A degree doesn't make you a teacher. You can have a degree in education and still not be a teacher. A teacher is something that's in you. Oh, I'm gonna go deeper. A ring doesn't make you a wife. You can put a ring on a man's hand, it doesn't make him a husband. You can put a ring on a woman's hand, it doesn't make her a wife. The Bible said, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So she has to be a wife when I find her. If I don't find her a wife, I can't make her. David is a king. He is a king. He is a leader. But his situations in the text do not reflect the magnitude of his capacity to lead. What do you do when your life don't look like who you are? What do you do when you go through a season in your life that stands in the face of your prophecy and mocks it like Ishmael mocking Isaac? And you look out the window and you can see the promise and the problem playing in the same backyard. Have you ever had your promise and your problem playing in the same backyard? There are times, my brothers and sisters, that you preach power and you drive home crying. There are times, my brothers and sisters, that you say to those with whom you have the responsibility of leading, if it's nothing but your children, don't worry, baby, everything's going to be okay. And you go to bed and you think, oh, Jesus, can I get a witness in here? Are there any mamas in here or daddies in here that told the kids, don't worry about it. That's not yours to worry about. It's going to be fine. And you went back and you got in the car and you drove around and around and around in circles saying, such is the moment before us now. For David has come to the cave of Adullam. He has escaped Gath. Gath is a city amongst the Philistines at the time. The Philistines is where David went to hide because the people that he was leading and the army that he was once assigned captain of is now hunting him. Y'all didn't get that. His own folks are hunting him to the degree that he is safer with the enemy than he is with the family. And I know you can't say anything because your family might be watching on TV, but the holidays are coming and you got mixed emotions about them coming because all of us don't have the kind of families we see on TV. And you know they're all coming over, inspecting everything, tasting everything, complaining about anything, asking you where, how come you ain't had children, how come you're not married yet, what did you put in this dressing, where did you get this from, what is this supposed to be, this turkey is dry, and you got a deal to the point that you are safer with the enemy than you are with your own. Oh, come on. Everybody's got some folks in their family that you are related to, but you're not kin to. And their rejection of him after his loyalty to them and his service to them and his kindness to them and his endurance and patience for them has driven him to run to Gath. Gath is the place where the giants dwell. Gath is the place where the Philistines live. And he thought they wouldn't recognize him, but he could only stay amongst them so long. Because you can only run so long. And eventually they discovered him, but David is so gifted and so creative that David feigns himself to be insane. Or he would have been murdered. Sometime you gotta go crazy to get out of it. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to go crazy. Not crazy, crazy to get out of it because people are trying to take you out and you just got to flip all the way. I know it's only maybe about 10 people in here have ever had somebody push you till you went. I mean, pull your wig off crazy. I mean, yank your earrings off crazy. I mean, kick your stilettos off crazy. And say, okay, you walk crazy. You go, it's not good to push us too far. Don't think because we're anointed we won't flip on you. Yeah, don't let the hallelujah fool you. I was talking to God, I wasn't talking to you. And if you push me in a corner, don't make me have to show you why he had to anoint me in the first place, because I need this anointing. If I don't get this anointing, I told somebody I was messing with one of my children. I said, now, I know who you think she is, but she's not who you think she is. If you push her far enough, you're gonna, she gonna go to foaming on you. If she go to foaming on you, you're gonna find out all the muscles in the world ain't gonna help you, because she gonna go. Is there anybody in here that ever had to go crazy? Because somebody was trying to dominate, control, intimidate, isolate, destroy, curse you, humiliate you, degrade you, and you've been as nice as you knew how to be nice. And finally it gets to a point where you say, that ain't working. I'm gonna have to turn into something that I don't even like to be to make you understand. You talking to me? And the king of the Philistines came down and said, why have you summoned me when you can clearly see this man is crazy? I'm just talking about what the text says. And I know that's not politically correct, but that's what the text says. So I'm talking about what the text says. And so David escaped. Have you ever escaped? Didn't have time to pack. Gotta escape. Didn't have time to do your hair, to get your nails done, get a pedicure, none of that kind of cute stuff like that. No shave, no trim, no line, because I got to escape. The word escape, see, the first word was left, and then it says escape. It's one thing to leave, it's another thing to escape. Some of us are here today because we escaped. If we'd have kept on the path we were on, we would have been destroyed, but we escaped. And the reason we were dancing, he's my everything, because we were thinking back, remembering how we escaped. When I start thinking about all the things I escaped and all the near calamities and disasters, when you gotta escape, you gotta escape. Even if you gotta scale down, even if you have to downsize, even if you have to give up the palace and live in a cave, when enough is enough, I'll live in a trailer. You're not gonna intimidate me with what you got, cause I can break it down up in here. And he escaped to the cave of Adullam.